But right now we're going to be joined by Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who knows what it's like to run a city in crisis. Mr. Mayor, welcome back.
Well, nice to talk to you, Brian.
Now, this crisis is a lot different than the 9/11 crisis you felt and some others you had challenges with. But overall, if I am running this team or running the city, I would go meet with my security and say, hey, can you secure the city? The stadium?
No, it's not unlike situations that I had. I took over the city after it had two major riots under my predecessor, and I vowed that there would be no riots under me. And I made it clear to everyone in the city, you know, go ahead, challenge me. See if you can have a riot. And they could protest. They did, but you had to be on the street. You couldn't take the Brooklyn Bridge. You couldn't close down Fifth Avenue. You had to be on the sidewalks. You had to be a certain distance away so that people could get in and out of their places of work. You had a right to make your First Amendment expression, but you didn't have the right to trample on the rights of other people. And we made that clear, and we had enough cops to support it. And whenever my police department asked me for 500 cops, I made it 1,000. And when they asked for 1,000, I made it 2,000. And I hid them. And I kept on top of it, and I would get up in a helicopter and look at it myself, and I would go there and look at it myself, because I would make sure nothing went wrong. And I have a very, very strong belief, and this is what is at the core of what happened in Ferguson and what happened the other day, that here's the way you stop a riot. You stop the first person who throws a stone. You stop the first person that breaks a window. You stop the first person who put something on fire. You do not allow a cooling off period or a venting period or anything like that. And I learned that from watching the mistakes of my predecessor in Crown Heights, where a 4-day riot went on. And then it was Governor Cuomo's appointee who wrote a report saying that that was the key reason why the riot got out of control. And it's fundamental. You do not allow people in front of the police to violate the law and not allow the police to act and stop the violation.
So the president gave a message to his new attorney general, who related to the Republican governor, to tell the police to show restraint. That was in the middle of the riot. And that's the message that the mayor gave, not necessarily on the president's prompt, but on our own prompt, saying essentially, let them vent. What does venting do?
Well, you know, the two different things, and of course, you know, words are really important here, and this is why the mayor has to be in communication with the police commissioner and has to be on top of this. To show restraint, absolutely. New York City Police Department shows restraint, I think, unbelievably, probably better than any police department in America. However, to allow people to vent, when venting means committing a crime, absolutely not. So showing restraint means you don't go beat people up. You don't go push them around for no reason at all. Showing restraint does not mean you allow someone to throw a rock at a police officer or another person. That is allowing lawlessness.
Right.
And the first act of lawlessness leads to the second, to the third, to the fourth. And mobs are like very bad children. They push as far as you let them go. And all venting does is make it worse. It's not a cooling off period. It's a heating up period.
Gotcha.
And how they got it wrong in Ferguson and how they got it wrong in Baltimore, when this theory that I'm telling you,
right,
you know, was discredited 15 years ago, is really remarkable.
But Mr. Mayor, no offense to mayors, but I was shocked at how much power mayors have. So in your case, this is what I'm doing, and the police force will follow. In this case, this is a mayor that says, I'm not doing any of that, and the police force better listen to me. But yet the expert in the field are the police force. I mean, does the police chief have any input in this?
Well, of course, police chief should. And the less you know about law enforcement, the more the police chief should have input. In my particular case, I was a mayor who had been, you know, a prosecutor for 17 years at just about every level of prosecution possible. So law enforcement was my area of expertise. But still, I would listen to my police commanders. And I'll tell you what I always did. I always gave them more than they wanted.
Right.
I always found they underestimated what they needed. And also, what would it matter if I had a few extra hidden away somewhere and then I didn't have to use them? It would just cost a little bit of extra money.
Yeah, here's Harry Reid. He blames the system. Cut 15.
The rioting and looting we're seeing in the streets of Baltimore will only further damage a community and a great American city that is already hurting. But we should not let the violence perpetrated by a few to become an excuse to ignore the underlying problem, that millions of Americans feel powerless in the face of a system that is rigged against them.
You agree?
Well, I put the responsibility then directly on him and his party. They've been running that city just about endlessly for the last 40 years. And if Baltimore is in the condition that he's talking about with all these underlying problems that haven't been dealt with, then last time I checked, they've had Democratic mayors for time immemorial. O'Malley was a mayor there for a while, except for one brief stint with Bob Ehrlich, who got defeated after four years. They've had Democratic governors. So if the educational system in that city is a failure, it's because of the failure of the Democratic politicians of that city to embrace choice, to embrace alternatives, to take on the teachers' union. If there's a lot of poverty in that city, it's the failure of the Democratic administrations in that city to engage in real welfare reform like I did. I moved 600,000 people off welfare. I took the unemployment rate in New York and knocked it in half. I redid Harlem.
Right.
I mean, did they make the changes in that community that I made in Harlem or that I made in Bedford-Stuyvesant or that I made in Jamaica, Queens?
You know, I don't – it doesn't seem like it.
When a Republican mayor had a chance to put Republican programs and policies in place, I took over a city very much like Baltimore. We had 2,000 murders in 1991, 2,400 in 1992. We were on the cover of Time magazine as the rotting of the Big Apple, and 75% of the people wanted to leave New York City when I took over after 30 or 40 years of liberal democratic rule. What you are seeing happens because of incorrect, wrongheaded, stupid, and discredited policies that people describe as progressive. It is not progressive to make people dependent.
And so you're talking about food stamps. You're talking about welfare or a lack of welfare reform?
Why don't they have workfare in Baltimore? I don't know. Why not? Why shouldn't the people who get welfare checks have to go out and work? Why shouldn't all the people who aren't working today in Baltimore who are getting welfare checks not be enlisted to go clean up all the stores in exchange for their welfare check? I did that the first day I came into office, second day, third day. I put everybody on welfare, had to go to work. And I went and told them I did this because I love you more. I care about you more. I want to make sure you get up in the morning and you go to work and you don't lose the work ethic. So why have those things not been done in 30 to 40 years? Why hasn't the teachers' union been taken on and the schools improved so that you have merit-based pay? So that a mother like that mother who took charge of her son got the choice of what school to pick for her son. I bet that mother would make a pretty darn good choice,
right,
and a lot better than the bureaucrats in Baltimore. What I'm trying to say is, and I know this is political and somewhat partisan, but it happens to be true. These cities that have been run under very excessive liberal democratic principles for 30 to 40 years are falling apart.
Right.
And they're falling apart because of dependency, because of an inability to take on the teachers' union, and the politicians who know better just go along with it. And then, I mean, to listen last night to some of the politicians in Baltimore say, this is because the system here doesn't work. Well, who runs the system there?
Right.
You do. Who's been running it for 40 years? You do. So, sorry, you didn't do your job.
Real quick, here's the president. He did come out and say these guys that are breaking into storms and looting, you're criminals, those you're stealing. So I give him credit for that. But he also went on to say this, cut five.
Since Ferguson and the task force that we put together, we have seen too many instances of what appears to be police officers interacting with individuals, primarily African-American, often poor, in ways that raise troubling questions. And it comes up, it seems like, once a week now, or once every couple of weeks.
Is he right?
Well, look, there are going to be interreactions with the police that are, as he puts it, I'd make them questionable, because you don't know until after the facts are in as to whether the police officer was right or wrong. I don't know in this case whether the police officers were right or wrong. I see some facts that have to be investigated. That should be balanced by the following fact, however. Brian, if we were to perfectly execute a policy of no police officer ever engaging in incorrect conduct, you think it would reduce any crime in America? You think those kids that were stealing in those stores were doing it because of police brutality?
That's a good question. We're talking about two separate issues, aren't we?
We're talking about two totally separate issues. Should we remove police brutality? Absolutely. I put, as a prosecutor, over 70 police officers in prison. As a mayor, I put police officers in prison. I mean, I helped get the evidence to put police officers in prison who acted improperly. I have no compunction for doing it, and I probably get angry at police officers or FBI agents or Secret Service agents who break the law. Right. I put one of my assistant U.S. attorneys in prison who violated the law.
And lastly, go ahead.
But that's not – but when these people are talking about the underlying problems and the underlying problems and the underlying problems, the underlying problems are not the police. That is a problem. It should be dealt with. Police departments – not every police department is New York.
Yep.
Some police departments are bad, poorly organized, poorly run. Some cases it's the fault of the mayor. Some cases it's the fault of the police commissioner. Other police departments are tremendous and wonderful. But – we're missing the whole point here.
I know. I agree. Real quick, Mr. Mayor.
We're missing the whole point.
Does it matter to play? Would you play in front? Would you have your team in your city play in front of an empty stadium, not play at all, or find a way to get that game in with fans?
That game would be, if this were New York, that game would be played. Look, we had to deal with the possibility of terrorist airplanes being driven into Shea Stadium and Yankee Stadium in the wake of September 11, and we were able to get it back. You're going to tell me a bunch of little punks who did this are going to stop a baseball game? I tell you, that says something not right. Resiliency is a defense to terrorism and to this kind of mob of violence, meaning getting your city back where it should be right away and saying to these people, you can't disrupt us, you can't frighten us, we got the resources to take care of ourselves. And, basically try me again and see what's going to happen.
Gotcha. That very well said. Always great to have you on, Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Thank you.